KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we're going to be learning about petroglyphs, rock carvings made by Native peoples hundreds, even thousands of years ago. We visit Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project and take a tour of this hidden site containing tens of thousands of petroglyphs with their archaeologist, educator, and a volunteer. We also meet a ranger from Petroglyph National Monument, and we talk with Tribal Preservation Officer from Acoma Pueblo, Todd Sissons, who shares the cultural meaning these images still have today for Pueblo peoples. Find the episode page with photos, learning materials, links, and more at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. The Children's Hour is an independent production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico-based nonprofit. We're distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Why did the bowling instructor get fired?
I don't know why.
He wasn't a good role model.
It's time for the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.
Hey there, this is Red Yarn, and you're listening to the Children's Hour.
Well, the other day, I met a little bunny. She said, listen, man, don't you think it's funny how so many folks just want to sit around all moan and mope about what gets them down. You gotta stand right up, you gotta raise your voice, you gotta get up with me and jump for joy. You gotta rise and shine, you gotta make some noise. Oh, dance with freedom and jump, 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 joy. I heard a little bullfrog with scratches singing that sweet love song. He said it don't matter if you're loud or quiet, if you sing your love out, nobody can deny it. You gotta stand right up, you gotta raise your voice, you gotta get up with me and jump for joy. You gotta rise and shine, you gotta make some noise. Dance with freedom and jump, 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 jump. I hope that everybody understands that the tools we need are in our hands. And I hope that everybody across the land can find that something that makes them stand, clap their hands. our voice. Get up with me and jump for joy. Oh, rise and shine and make some noise. Oh, dance with freedom and jump, jump, jump for joy. Jump, jump, jump a little, little jump, jump, jump a little, little jump, jump, jump a little, little jump, jump, jump for joy. Jump, jump, jump a little, little jump, jump, jump a little, little jump, jump, jump a little, little jump, jump, jump for joy.
That's Red Yarn, right here on the Children's Hour, with a good reminder that you have the ability to rise and shine and stay positive. I'm Katie Stone, and I'm positively delighted to be with a bunch of kids here at the Sunspot Studio and online. Who's with us today?
Hello, it's Octavia.
Hello, it's Isaac.
Hello, it's Evan.
Hi, it's Illuminata.
Hello, it's Melissa.
Hi, it's Lucas.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hello, it's Zen.
Well, thanks everyone for being here out there in listener land and here at the studio and on Zoom. Today on the show, we're going to learn about something pretty amazing, petroglyphs. These are ancient rock art or rock designs and carvings that can be found all over the desert Southwest in the United States where we live. And there have been petroglyphs discovered worldwide too. They hold up especially well in the arid desert where we live, and today we're going to be going to a secret petroglyph site in northern New Mexico called the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project. A few of the kids and I took a field trip to this special and fragile site, and we got to see some of the more than 60,000 documented petroglyphs that are there. And we took a tour with their archaeologist, Jared Roberts, their education coordinator, Sandy Romero, and a volunteer named Judy Chaddock. We're also going to learn from Ranger David Ottaviano with Petroglyph National Monument. That's right here in Albuquerque on the west side of our city and on the west side of the Rio Grande. We're also going to learn from the Tribal Preservation Officer of Acoma Pueblo, Todd Sissons. His ancestors made petroglyphs for thousands of years, and he helps us understand what they mean and the place that they still hold in Native Pueblo culture. There are activities, photos, and more at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. This is Robert Mirabal from the Pueblo of Taos, right here on the Children's Hour.
Ancana, ancana, ubo huepa, hesamei. Ancana, ancana, anmahumi, ancana.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, and with us today on the show is Ranger David. David Ottaviano is from the National Park Service Petroglyph National Monument. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Ranger David.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
So I'm just going to start with asking the kids and the crew, what is a petroglyph?
I think it's like a writing made by one of the Pueblo people.
I think petroglyphs are something made out of, well, they could have used different tools to make it.
I think they're writing on walls, right? From a really long time ago.
Ranger David, how did we do? What is a petroglyph?
So petro means rock and glyph means carving. So petroglyphs, which are found really throughout the world, are rock carvings, and they can be on different types of rock. So here at Petroglyph National Monument, we have basalt, which is a type of lava rock, and that's all the petroglyphs are carved into, the basalt lava rock stones. There's lots of petroglyphs throughout the Southwest that are carved into sandstone. Petroglyphs should not be confused with pictographs, which pictographs are paintings on rocks, and there are lots of pictographs throughout the Southwest as well. Usually pictographs only survive in areas that are protected from the elements, caves, or in historic kivas or that sort of thing.
But they're actually painted, as opposed to, like, how are petroglyphs made? They're actually etched into the rock?
Carved into the stone. And in our case, with the lava rock develops what we call a desert varnish, like a rust quality that happens to the outside of the rock over thousands of years. So it's a really long geologic process where the outside of the rock becomes very dark. But native people determined probably thousands of years ago that if they remove that outside rust layer, that outside desert varnish, as we call, they get to the lighter color, the more natural gray color of the rock. And that's what creates the contrast. That's how we're able to see these images. So there's no paint involved at all. The petroglyphs will fade over time, but it takes a long, long time. And here at Petroglyph National Monument, most of our petroglyphs were carved by the ancestral Pueblo people. And most of the petroglyphs were carved between 400 and 700 years ago.
Ranger David, are petroglyphs essentially ancient graffiti?
So that is actually a misnomer. People sometimes think that it was just graffiti. And when I say graffiti, I mean like, writing that was done in a slapdash way. And no one that studies petroglyphs believes that. When you look at our petroglyphs, these images have deep cultural and spiritual significance. And in fact, carving the petroglyphs themselves, it was a lot of time and effort to do that. They were using stone tools. They were fashioning tools that they were finding and making. In many cases, particularly with the more elaborate petroglyphs, they would have been using a hammer stone, so more of just a really hard circular stone. And then they were using a stone chisel, and it would have had kind of a blade on it, a side that was kind of sharp. So they were not done in a very quick fashion.
Are petroglyphs found only in the desert Southwest, or were they found all over the Americas?
You can find them just about everywhere in North America. I was talking about the basalt stones and how they develop that desert varnish, that kind of rust quality, but that actually is found in other rocks as well, like sandstone. And that is kind of peculiar to deserts, but it's found in deserts throughout the world. So you get that desert varnish on the outside. It's really perfect for creating that contrast. So the Southwest is really known for petroglyphs for that reason, having to do with the geology of the area. Desert varnish develops through a cycle of rain and then depositing some soil particles and then getting the beating sun down on it. Kind of bakes it in. So it is a phenomenon that we see in deserts. And because of that, the Southwest is really rich with petroglyphs, but you can find them in other places as well.
I'm curious about touching petroglyphs. It's very tempting to walk up to them and touch them, but I would assume the oils on our hands might damage the petroglyphs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Just simply touching a petroglyph can damage it, and certainly will do in pretty short order. So it doesn't take that many people to touch an image, and oils from your hands will come out and darken those images and make it difficult to see. Just that general wear and tear. These images are very, very old. They're very, very fragile, and they've taken a lot of abuse. Over time, there's been a lot of vandalism and other damage that have marred the images. So we definitely ask that you don't touch the images and stay on the trails, because we have a big problem with erosion here. And so when people go off trail, they want to get real up close and personal, say with an image, they will unloose some rocks, maybe they'll trample on some brush there, and then that makes it more susceptible to erosion. And then those boulders that have petroglyphs on them can roll down, and that, in addition to being a big safety concern, that of course will prevent us from seeing those images again if the boulder falls down, and we really want to keep everything in its place.
That's Ranger David Ottaviano from Petroglyph National Monument, which is located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the west side of our city. Ranger David, thank you for being with us on the Children's Hour today.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having me.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is Native Roots. Follow along on our playlist and see photos at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. At a secret site in northern New Mexico that is full of ancient petroglyphs. This area is so fragile and the art is so ancient that only a few people can go at a time. And if you ask, what is a petroglyph?
A petroglyph is an image that's been chipped or incised into the rock, and it becomes an image that we can look for and find.
We see these petroglyphs and they're on these dark colored rocks. To describe them for our listeners, you can see pictures at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, petroglyphs. But the petroglyphs themselves are lighter in color. And so exactly why always these dark rocks, and what was the technique to make these petroglyphs?
To make a petroglyph at its, you know, core is you take some harder stone and you hit a softer stone continually until you get through that desert varnish or that patina into the lighter colored rock. But these are made on basalt. And one thing that happens with basalt is what's called desert varnish, or it's a patina that darkens the rock the more it's exposed to the sun and the elements. And so when you have that dark layer on the top and you have still that lighter layer on the bottom, when you peck through that darker layer, you create this incredible contrast. And so if you're wanting something to last a long time, you're going to create that contrast, and it's going to be very visible for quite some time.
We also have a solar marker, or you could call it an equinox marker. You'll see it there. It looks like a spoke. It has a center circle. A shadow from one of the boulders off to the east there will cast a shadow on the upper part of that circle. And then on equinox morning, the shadow will cast above the inner circle. And then the next day, shadow will cast below that circle. And then 3 days after, the shadow will cast below the outer circle.
That's really something.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So why do you think it was important for these petroglyphs to have a sort of relation to the equinoxes?
Very good question. It would be a way to tell time of when to harvest and when to plant.
How long did it take you all to figure out that this was a solstice marker? Or did you just know to come out here on solstice and look right there? Or did someone tell you that?
most of these boulders have absolutely no shadows on the imagery themselves. And so with that said, you make note of it and say, okay, I'm documenting this, and this was about 2 weeks from the solstice or 2 weeks from the equinox. And I noticed that there is a shadow cast here. You have to keep on coming back to it over and over again, because even if it's not a solstice or an equinox marker, from what my experience is and from what my advisor used to always say, is everything carries meaning. And whether or not that's intentional meaning or subconscious meaning, it's still information that is encapsulated in these rocks or in this imagery. It's not just the imagery itself, but where it's placed on the landscape. What direction is it facing? It's much more than just putting an image on a boulder. It's really giving it life.
Looking at all of these petroglyphs, I have to ask, is the techniques that are used to actually make them hard to do?
It really depends. We have a wide variety of petroglyphs here. Some of them are more expediently made, while others, there's a lot of careful detail put into them. And some of them, especially as Sandy was talking about, have markers or they're associated with certain times of the year. You would have to have so much knowledge leading up to that to be able to create it. So saying it's just difficult to create that image, you can say, yeah, anybody can create it. But the amount of knowledge incorporated into it may take years and years before you even hit that rock the first time.
That's Jared Roberts. He's the archaeologist at the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project. And we're also with their education coordinator, Sandy Romero, and Judy Chaddock, a volunteer. We have a lot more to learn about petroglyphs. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, an educational nonprofit based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We're listener-supported at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. The Arts Alive program on Museum Hill in Santa Fe is free for all ages in June and July. Plan your summer visit at museumhill.net. Do you have an old car, boat, or motorcycle cluttering your yard? Learn how you can turn your unwanted vehicle into Kids Public Radio at childrenshour.org.
Okay, I was taking my afternoon walk, just strolling down my neighborhood block. When I had an out-of-body experience, and boy, was it a shock. I saw the universe spinning around like a clock, Jesus and Buddha just having a talk. It happened to me, believe it or not, while I was taking my afternoon walk. All right, then I talked to a duck at the creek for what felt like a month and a week. I could understand every wise quack that was coming out of her beak. She gave me her lucky wisdom tooth. She showed me the ancient fountain of youth. She told me the long lost secret truth while I was taking my afternoon walk. Yes, her. When I was taking my afternoon walk, just taking my afternoon walk, what happened? Time disappeared and things got weird while I was taking my afternoon walk. That's right. Here we go. Okay, then I met an albino squirrel who made my world swirl. He got a purple cat and a yellow dog dancing polka with a polka-dotted girl. He blew my nose and he bit my shin. He hit me on the head with a mandolin. He lost my mind, but then I found it again while I was taking my afternoon walk. A true story. Sing the chorus. I was taking my afternoon walk. Just taking my afternoon walk. Then what? Time disappeared and things got weird while I was taking my afternoon walk. It's what I do. I take my afternoon walk. I gotta go take my afternoon walk. You're a glow.
That's the Okie Dokie Brothers right here on the Children's Hour. We thought it was a great day to go outside for a walk when we went to the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project. with archaeologist Jared Roberts, educator Sandy Romero, and volunteer Judy Chaddock, and a few of our kids' crew. This super fragile environment is so delicate, we could only bring a handful of our kids' crew. And so far, over the years they've been open, they've documented more than 60,000 petroglyphs in this one small site. They actually think there's probably double that amount.
So to describe where we are right now, we're up on the side of this mesa, this hill, if you will. And at the bottom of the hill, what I see is the Rio Grande, which is a huge river here. You can find it on a map. And that valley is pretty wide and full of trees. And we're in kind of a geologically active area in the world, kind of like the whole planet. I mean, these are basalt, as you mentioned, which come from volcanic activity. So how come that these aren't being eroded by rain and wind and weather?
I mean, they are. It's not eroding as fast as the rest of the landscape. If we were to put petroglyphs, let's say, on a softer rock like limestone, and it was exposed to the elements just as these are, it probably would not have lasted nearly as long as the basalt does.
So, do you think petroglyphs have been lost to erosion over time?
Absolutely. We only can be certain of what we can see right now, but the archaeological record is inherently biased. It's because not everything preserves. This is only just one little teeny part of the culture that's preserved, but we're even when we're studying these petroglyphs, everything else from the day-to-day life, from basketry, from everything that you're actively engaged in day-to-day life, that does not preserve. And also it depends upon where you're at in the landscape too. It was mentioned that, you know, rock shelters and caves often have these images, but those images could have been much more present throughout, you know, everywhere. It's just they did not preserve. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good question. It's something that's always important to think about.
Is there anything we can do to prevent this loss of ancient art?
That's a multi-answered question. It goes down to different philosophies. One of the philosophies is leave them in place and let nature take its course. And that's kind of what we're doing, is we're documenting what we have when we can. But then at the same time, making sure that we are not either furthering or making its demise faster, because at the end of the day, if we were to move that boulder, we would lose so much information. And on top of that, this is a very sacred landscape still. A lot of the cultures that created this imagery are still around. They're just right down the road. So we must also make sure that we respect the sacredness of them by also leaving them as they are.
The other thing I see on here, well, it's really hard to miss, is English writing, or maybe it's Spanish writing, Delfino Chacon something. And clearly, like, that's not Tewa. So that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to come here and do this show, was because I hike a lot and I've been seeing a lot of damage to petroglyphs. Gunshots and things like this that clearly are modern, like this writing. Can you talk a little bit about that and the preservation of culture?
Sure. As you can see, it's Chacon. You know, he was probably one of the early Hispano colonizers. And maybe he saw these, you know, different images and he wanted to be on the rock too. We don't call any of it graffiti. It all has meaning, whether we like it or not. And we want to educate people into the incredible importance and beauty of the petroglyphs and the landscape that they're in, so that they won't have an urge to deface them. If they're angry or feeling sorry and just want to destroy something, we want them to have a special feeling of this place, that it's a place to take care of and preserve and respect. Yeah.
One thing I would also like to represent that we really haven't touched on is our place. It's, we're looking just at the imagery, but what we need to do is also look at the landscape. And so I would just ask you all to look out onto the landscape itself and see why here as opposed to down at the bottom. Why certain images up here opposed down at the bottom? Why certain images? And once you just, like, instead of just looking down at the ground, I definitely suggest you to start looking up and seeing the landscape and how beautiful and how far we can see. These images are not just, you know, random doodles. They're very sacred imagery, and they are placed on the landscape for very particular points. And you cannot really understand it until you just start looking out. One of my favorite things is just to turn around. Just take a pause, and you'll often see something beautiful.
That's Jared Roberts, the archaeologist at Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project in northern New Mexico. We're also going to be speaking with the tribal preservation officer of Acoma Pueblo. And the kids are still at Mesa Prieta. And just a note, archaeologist Jared Roberts spoke about the living cultures that are still in our region whose ancestors made these petroglyphs. Where this location is, the nearest pueblo is called Oque Owingue. And that pueblo is quite significant as it is the birthplace of Popey. He was the architect of the Pueblo Revolt of 1680. You can learn about the Pueblo Revolt in episode 4 of A Brief History of the American Southwest for Kids. You'll find it at childrenshour.org/history. Lots more to learn about petroglyphs. Stick with us. I'm Katie Stone, and this is the Children's Hour. Red Miller Cody right here on the Children's Hour from Precious Friends with My Relatives. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about petroglyphs. And we wanted to learn even more from Todd Sissons. He's the Tribal Preservation Officer at Acoma Pueblo. Acoma is located about 100 miles west of Albuquerque, and its ancestral pueblo is at the top of a beautiful mesa. You can visit it even today. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Todd Sissons. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We just wanted to know your perspective of petroglyphs. How would you describe them?
The general idea, if you will, of how they're interpreted is pictures or art that represent different things, whether it's animals, mountains, just various landscapes. But the meaning of these is much deeper, especially to Native American tribes here in the Southwest. There are a number of Pueblo tribes that still exist to this day. We still practice our cultures, and the people who used to live here long ago, we consider them to be our ancestors.
It's worth mentioning, Todd, to folks who aren't aware, that Acomo Pueblo, along with the 19 other Pueblos, were not displaced. People of Acoma still live in their ancestral homeland that you all have lived in for thousands of years.
Yes, that is correct. We are still in our original homeland or land base that we first inhabited thousands of years ago. We are considered one of the oldest continuously inhabited communities or towns in the United States. The practices that our ancestors did long ago still continue to this day. And one of those practices is the idea of the petroglyphs. The meaning behind these displays of art, if you will, they basically tell a story of everyday life. We have books that we can read today, or of course, as technology has advanced, we have the phones and the iPads and such that we can use to read things that tell us these stories. While way back in the early days when our ancestors were still living, this is the way that they told their stories. And these drawings are of things that they did every day, places that they visited, probably prayers that they said, animals that they saw, and just various things that they wanted to record. The moon, the sun, the stars, if they saw comets, all of that stuff was put on rock faces because they wanted to keep what they were doing as a permanent record of them being in these places. Many of these petroglyphs are sacred to many of us tribes. And so many people are starting to see now they are a living history of our people. And we have tried to get out there that message of, you know, please respect these drawings, these stories, if you will, because they represent different cultures and their past.
Do people at Acoma still make petroglyphs today?
We don't do it as much anymore because, of course, nowadays with technology and stuff, many of the stories and things that we do on a daily basis, they're pretty much recorded. There are still some people that know how to do that, but it's not really done anymore.
When you see a petroglyph, you're seeing a story.
That is correct. It's a story that we see, and it's a symbol of more than just an animal or a place, but a sacredness that exists between the real world and what we consider to be this spiritual world.
And there's also something for you personally, where this is your great, 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 great grandparents made that petroglyph.
Yes, and that is the other reason why it's so important, because we know that people who were related to us at some point in some way made these. So we always want these to be protected.
Are petroglyphs different from Pueblo to Pueblo?
In most cases, they pretty much mean the same thing to all Pueblos. And that goes back to our origin stories, where we were one large group of people. And at some point in time, we did split up to the various tribes, the various Pueblo tribes that you see today. So because of that belief that we have, we all consider these to be similar and kind of tell the same story, that doesn't mean that there aren't some that aren't specific to each tribe, because there certainly are, but for the most part, they're all pretty much similar in their meanings.
We have pictures of petroglyphs posted at childrenshour.org, and one of them is of a spiral. What does a spiral mean to you?
That design is actually one of my favorite designs, and it holds a lot of meaning for me. The spiral is meant to describe a journey that took place wherever they were coming from and wherever they went to. We don't truly know, but nevertheless, there was a journey that took place. Many of these journeys were pilgrimages, usually spiritual pilgrimages that they took to sacred places. They would mark these journeys that they took to, you know, identify that that particular journey meant something. So whenever I see spirals, one of the first things that I like to do is trace it out, because it gives me a sense of the journey that my ancestors took long ago.
Wow. We're talking with Todd Sissons. He's the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer at Accomup Pueblo. Thanks for being with us on the Children's Hour.
Thank you so much for having me on your program. And I do hope that this gives everyone a better understanding of the meaning and symbolism of these petroglyphs.
Today's episode has curriculum and activities at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund.
La 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 la. Aktektanan komentanane. La 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 la. Ukakshomi tokyapoant atnana. La 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 la. Aktek komentanane. Ukakshomi tokyapoant atnana. La 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 la. La 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 la. Ukakshomi tokyapoant atnana. Oh, manzana. La 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 la. She ukakshomi tokyapoant atnana. La 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 la. La la. Nam akteki oksiktana poketana poketana. Nam akteki oksiktana kochitana atutana aktektana. Nam akteki poketana oksiktana oksiktana. Om akteki poketana okshiktana kochitana kochitana. Om akteki poketana okshiktana kochitana kochitana. Om akteki poketana okshiktana kochitana kochitana.
That's a lullaby recorded in 1950 in the Pueblo of Zuni, New Mexico.
And we wish we knew who was singing that. That came off of the Taylor Museum of the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center, Music of the Pueblos, Apache, and Navajo. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today we're learning about petroglyphs. These are ancient, inscribed rock art, if you will, but art is really not the right word, as we've been learning all throughout the show. You can learn more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Petroglyphs, where you'll find curriculum and some activities as well. A small group of the kids' crew and I went to a place called Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project in northern New Mexico. It was on a bluff adjacent to the Rio Grande, and there were so many petroglyphs everywhere we looked.
Do you know how old these petroglyphs are?
Usually archaeologists like to use what's called radiocarbon dating, and that is they actually date the carbon that is present in it. With petroglyphs, we don't have the luxury of being able to radiocarbon date because it's a reductive process. You're pecking away the rock. You're not adding any minerals or pigment that may have carbon in it. So it's very, very hard to actually put a direct date on these petroglyphs. With that said, we can do what's called like secondary dating or relative dating. So if there's a petroglyph that was pecked on top of one, we might be able to see that one is maybe darker than the other, and that would suggest that it was in the sun more than the other one. Another way is by style. And a lot of these in the area is what's considered Rio Grande style. So we can relatively date it to things that we can actually date in the ground, so ceramics that are tied with organics and things like that. But it's a very, very tricky subject, especially when you get older and older in time. We're not firm on style as much as more present in the Tewa culture.
I'd like everybody to look over the little valley here to that large boulder that's kind of at an angle. Who can describe something that they're seeing over there?
I see a group of animals walking down a trail, it looks like.
Excellent. And do you notice how many legs they have?
I noticed 4 legs.
That's right. When we're recording these petroglyphs, we call these quadrupeds because in classifying, we have to have ways to put them into groups.
And we would want to see if they pop up on different images. This kind of hits on a very, very good subject. What do we know? And it's based on the attributes of what that image has. So just like if I were to say, I had a long white beard, I'm associated with reindeer, and a certain time of the season that happens to come around winter, who would I be?
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. It's the attributes themselves at what tells you. The more we document, the more information that we can glean, the more that we can possibly be like, okay, this person is associated with the east because all of the petroglyphs are faced towards the east. And then we can get a little bit more understanding, like, okay, what imagery is usually associated with the east? And then we can kind of work our way through it.
Something you mentioned a little bit earlier, too, is that one of the incredible things about these petroglyphs is that the people who made them are still around today, and they carry some of that culture. And particularly in archaeology, having those people still here is something so incredible and so often pretty rare. So I'm curious to ask, what about these symbols and meanings from the petroglyphs can we learn from the modern peoples whose ancestors once made them?
A lot. Yes, we can learn a lot. And that's one of the main reasons why I decided to kind of up in my life and come here is because it is an incredibly unique experience where we can directly pull from ethnographic evidence and have some sort of continuity between what we're seeing in the past and what we're seeing in the present.
Ethnographic, what does that word mean?
So basically, it's the study of cultures that are present, that are existing. So you're going into and you're learning from existing cultures. And so oftentimes in archaeology, it's particularly hard because there may be a disconnect. We may have lost some information, but here is incredibly important because the disconnect isn't there. This place is still sacred to the people that are still around. They still exist. They're still here. And ultimately, these are their images, or their ancestors' images. And so it's incredibly unique, and it does allow us to maybe glean a little bit more information because there's somebody that we can pull from to ask, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Y'all gonna have to come back. There's so much to talk about.
That's the Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project Education Coordinator, Sandy Romero. You also heard their archaeologist, Jared Roberts, and volunteer, Judy Chaddick, along with kids from the kids' crew of the Children's Hour. You can learn more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Petroglyphs. This is Red Feather Woman, right here on the Children's Hour.
The keepers of the earth, a heritage given to us through birth. Creator took us by the hand and said, this is our land. One day my journey took me far, and what I saw left with me a scar. The air so full of dirt and smog, and my brothers, the birds, could not sing their song. We are the keepers of the earth, a heritage given to us through birth. Creator took us by the hand and said, this is our land. As I flew through the air and tried not to be despaired, watched the river fail to flow, and my brothers the fish with no place to go. We are the keepers of the earth, a heritage given to us through birth. Creator took us by the hand and said, this is our land. And as I watched the tears form in his eyes, the elder spoke of a land he knew as a child. He cried to the youth, it's up to you to help your people and see our Mother Earth through. We are the keepers of the earth, a heritage given to us through birth. Creator took us by the hand and said, this is our land. Are the keepers of the earth, a heritage given to us through birth. Creator took us by the hand and said, this is our land.
We're almost out of time on the Children's Hour, and you've been learning about petroglyphs. You can learn a lot more or share this episode with friends. All of our radio shows become podcasts, so you can listen to them on demand anytime. You can go to childrenshour.org and click on the podcasts, and you'll see them all, or you can subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. This episode comes with learning materials, including ones created by Mesa Prieta Petroglyph Project. You can find links and activities and more at childrenshour.org. Look for petroglyphs. We're going to go out with one more. This is Shelley Morningsong. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
I took to my iron horse, old war pony. Father Mahale put out his finger to point the way. But wait, was that its lips he was warning with?
Up in front of me like a shapeshifter and brought a coyote. The trickster himself said, take the road that leads to the edge of the world.
Take the road that leads to the free world.
Beyond the prison of the fence posts. Oh yeah, I can see it now. Like a vision from some old legend.
Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode of the Children's Hour was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with help from Sarah Gabrielli and Thaniel Lentz. Amber Scheel produced our learning material.